of worship so far. I don't know if the rest of you have caught it, but when we started with the first song this morning, I immediately felt the descent of the Spirit. I felt it. I've had it all over me. And I'm going, wow, the kingdom of God is here. The love and the grace of God is here. So what we're going to do, even though, yes, we have a sermon and that sort of thing, I want us to embrace that. So as I'm talking this morning, sharing some things with you, and you know me, we'll do something afterwards, of course. No, Keith, I will not pick on you first. But there's some things here that I want to share with you that this has been a very profound, interesting week, and so will be this next week, and we'll come to that. So I want to read our scripture, and it's going to be out of Luke 4, and it's verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Now this is after he has had his 40 days. He's had his commissioning. He's had his 40 days of prayer and fasting out in the wilderness. So Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue's assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And before we go any further, Jay, would you take just a second and come up and explain this picture, if you would, please? It's significant to the verses. And Jay explained it to me this morning, and I thought, well, this is something I want to be able to share with everybody. So here's the mic. Sure. Thanks, Jay. Okay, so following on the heels of his baptism and his experience in the wilderness for 40 days, with its attending understanding of his vocation, his mission, he was to preach to the world. He stands in his hometown synagogue and gives his inauguration address. Think about it. He quotes from Isaiah. He concludes his oration or his words with these stirring words. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, next week, we'll see more of the aftermath of the result of him saying this to the folks in the synagogue. But I don't know about you, each and every one of you, and that includes me too, that any new beginning, marriage, birth, a job, you're moving, all those sorts of things, there is a moment of truth. It is a moment that overshadows and favors and gives meaning to all the other moments. Most of us in here at one time or another have started a new job. Some of us are glad to be back to our jobs. Right, Janice? Hallelujah, you're back to work again. And you get paid. What a benefit. It's a moment that overshadows and flavors and gives meaning to all the other moments. A moment when declarations are made, commitments sealed, mission statements shaped, for those of you in the business world or the military, and inaugural statements publicly proclaimed. We are the greatest. When Jesus concluded his reading of Isaiah, he sat down and gave a one-sentence homily, a one-sentence statement of truth. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In that one sentence, he summed up his whole life's purpose. Luke 19, verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his life mission. When you and I have before us a moment of truth, we can decide to leave this statement alone, or we can choose to imitate it in living out our baptismal covenant. Now think about that for a minute. When you look, when in the front of the book of the hymnal, there's communion in there, there's deaths, you know, funerals, there's baptisms, all kinds of stuff. Well, part of that is your commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord. So that's part of your covenant that's made. Now, some of us were baptized when we were 3 months old. That was me. I was one of those. I don't remember it. I don't remember any of it. And I probably was screaming when my head got wet. I don't know. But I've also been through baptism as an adult. You know, like a reaffirmation of my baptism. And there I was able to do the public affirmation, the covenant of my walk in Christ. Here I am. Each one of you has also had that opportunity. What's your covenant before God? How is the health of your covenant? Maybe that's another way to say it. His voice at that moment was the light of the world. It's important that we know where we're headed. So a little shift here. Jesus came in and said, I have fulfilled the prophecies. Luke 19:10, later on when it's written, says he came to seek and to save the lost. He is our example. His mission, he knew his mission. He knew full good and well he was going to die on the cross in a few years. He may not have known the date and time, but he knew it was going to happen. Thank goodness he did that for us. Thank goodness he did that. So, here's my point to you. Jesus knew his mission. What is your mission? What is your mission? I'd like everybody to grab a Bible in front of them and go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, I'm not going to make you read it. First Corinthians chapter 12. You follow along in your translation. I'm going to read from mine. Okay. So what is your mission? And when you go to Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about gifts and ministries. Over the 18 months that I've been here, I have talked a number of times about what's your gifts. What is your ministry that the Lord has for you? The Holy Spirit has given each and every one of you gifts and a mission. So I'm going to read verses 4 through 11. Follow along as best you can. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit is definitely here this morning. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as the Lord wills. So, Dennis and Caprina, they have one set of gifts. They have one set of ministries. Jill, you have one set of gifts. You have one set of ministries. Each one of you, Dennis, Keith, Nancy, to Wayne and Verlaine, to Rod, and the whole Olson family back there. Yes, the Wells family. I'm not leaving you out either. Okay, but each one of you has that kernel, that you have that little bit of a ministry. My ministry is a very public one. I'm up here. I'm preaching away. I'm trying to keep from making a fool of myself, which seems to happen anyway. But I'm up here preaching. I'm here seeking things prophetically. I'm looking for things. What is it, Lord, you want me to do with the congregation? How can I serve the congregation? That's part of my ministry. My gifts, it's prophetic. I move prophetically. There are things that I have prayed for you, prophetically. There are sermons that I have given you, likewise. Because I'm listening to the Spirit. And when I'm down here, when we are singing, so Janice, when we started with the very first song, I felt the Spirit descend. Bam. It was wonderful. I love it. I tingle from head to toe when the Spirit does that to me. Now, it's not quite to the tickling part, but, you know, I tingle. But at the same time, I quit singing at one point, and I listened to all of you sing. It was fantastic. It was as though the church was full of voices. Full of voices. And as I'm standing here, call me crazy, doesn't matter. But as I'm standing up here, I'm going, wow, Lord, this is fantastic. Listen to the voices. And it was as though he opened the skies of heaven to me. And the angels were singing. And as we're singing, so are they. That's powerful. That is very powerful. So we have gifts. Each and every one of you has gifts. Each and every one of you has ministries. And it doesn't matter if you're only 3 months old, 90 years old, or somewhere in between. We all have gifts and ministries. And that's our mission. Now, here's the rest of it. Let's read, I'm going to go to verse 28. Same chapter, chapter 12. And I'm going to read 28 through 31. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are not teachers, are they? They are not all workers of miracles. All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The Lord has given each of you, as I've just been saying for the last 5 or 6 minutes, gifts and ministries. But, what is our church mission? What is our church mission? Yell it out. What is our church mission? And it doesn't matter. There is no right or wrong. We are a community based on faith. Okay, now, diagram that sentence and explain to me what that means. She says, oh, okay, I didn't expect Dave to say that. Okay, all right, that's certainly one thing. But give me some words. Janice is going to be laughing about this now the rest of the service. Okay, what is part of our ministry as a church? Just say it out. To love. What else? Missions. Serve others. Spread the word of God. How about take care of the sick? Do we have a mission of taking care of hungry. Right? Right, Alvin? Okay, we got the soup kitchen. We suddenly, in the last couple of weeks, certainly took care of our community in the local area when we became the all-powerful source of diapers. I didn't know, okay, I say this tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't know there were so many mommies with little kids bouncing all over this area right here. Because all of a sudden, I started getting calls. Here, you got diapers. Well, what's it to you? No, I didn't say that. Yeah, amen, preacher brother. But the thing is that we made diapers available. And it wasn't like, well, here, have a package. No, here, take the case. Take the case. So, Jill, I'm going to ask you, call Kimberly Clark again and see if they've got a truckload they want to unload. I dare you. Oh, no, no, no. Christmas story. I triple dog dare you to do it. Okay, well, go for it. Go forth and conquer, okay? So we take care of the sick, we take care of the hungry, we take care of the homeless in one way or another. We also take care of those dying. So last Monday, I took care of a funeral in Tremont. Tomorrow, I'm doing another funeral over at the Gillies Funeral Home. Now, so I don't know how I find out about these things, but I'm at the funeral home yesterday, and right around the corner from where the parsonage is, the house at the corner of 700 South and 5th West, the main street there, a 27-year-old woman just suddenly passed away, like, just like that. So I've already given my card to Gillies and said, look, contact this family. It's not like I'm an ambulance chaser, okay? I'm not a casket chaser, but I'm making the services available because what's our mission here? The marginalized, the ones that are down and out. And that's where our heart is. That's where my heart is. Unfortunately, I'm not afraid to pass that on to you. And I think this church has responded well, especially the Super Bowl competition and that sort of thing. You know, we have fun with that. Take care of the food bank. But we have a heart for the down and out. God bless you for having that. You have that. So, we'll see what else is happening as far as funerals and that sort of thing. But it's a chance for me to say, I'm a pastor. I'm here to help you in your time of grieving, your time of pain. And oh, by the way, church services are at 10:15. The family that I took care of last week is unchurched. They had not been in church for 10 or 15 years as a whole. The folks that I'm doing the funeral for tomorrow used to come here. Used to come here. They were here when Dave Heaster was here. It was Robert and Naomi Brager, if any of you know who they are. But they haven't been here since about 2007. So we're making contacts. Our name is getting out. And it's not, hey, we're special. It's, hey, we're a resource to help take care of people. No different from Jesus 1,900 years ago. We are that extension of Jesus. So let me read you a little story here. In the winter of 1947, Abbot Pierce, who was known as the modern apostle of mercy to the poor of Paris, now we're talking 2 years after World War II, found a young family on the streets one night. They were homeless and destitute, nearly frozen to death. He gathered them up and brought them to the monastery, which was already full of other poor and the outcast. As he looked for a place for their makeshift beds, there wasn't room in the regular rooms, so he took them and placed them around the altar. He promptly removed the reserved sacraments from the altar area and placed them in an unheated attic. Sacraments don't care if they're refrigerated or not. He placed the family's bedding on and around the altar. The other monks expressed shock at such irreverence. The abbot replied, Jesus Christ is not cold in bread and wine, but he is absolutely cold in the body of a little child. So show the warmth of Jesus. Let's bring in the poor. It's what he was doing. The priest knew that his mission was not to be a protector of the church building and rituals, but to open the church doors to those whom Christ has made his mission to serve. Have we done that? Yes, we have. Know your mission, and it will light the path you are intended to take. So again, I come back and say, what is your mission? Now, I'm going to share a couple of things here, Katie, if I may. Okay, so Katie here a couple of weeks ago, as of tomorrow, she got saved. She accepted Jesus into her heart. Her pal, oh, but wait, there's more. Okay. So her pal Julie is also was here, and we had a chance to pray for her too. So I took them both through the sinner's prayer. This young lady over here has gone through quite a transformation in 2 weeks. Now, if you sit down to talk to her, she's going to ask you a million questions because she wrote them all down. Okay? But the thing is that next Sunday, she's getting baptized. Okay? When was the last baptism we had in this church? 1970, 62, 01. Oh, you weren't born yet. Okay. Okay. But things are changing. Things are changing. We're seeing people get saved. They accept the Lord. We're going to see people that are being baptized. I've got some other folks that I've already been approaching saying, hey, let's do a baptism. I'd like to do a hallelujah baptism Sunday. Yeah, hallelujah. And, I thought, it'll be during wintertime, of course, it's much warmer to do it in here. But I'm not opposed to doing it in the Bear River. No, don't freak. Don't freak. Her blood pressure just went up. Bear River is a little cold. Maybe the community swimming pool. We've certainly done stuff like that. Especially out on the West Coast. Again, water's not real warm. So you're in luck, Katie. We're going to do it up here. Okay. Now, baptism. There's three kinds of baptisms. You can sprinkle, you can pour, you can immerse. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pour. That's at Katie's request. Now, what we need to do, though, as a church is be praying for Julie. Because right now she's kind of scared, I think. She's kind of nervous. And that's okay. That's okay. We work through it. So this church has got a lot going on, and that's good. We have growth, and that's good. The Lord needed to work on us for the last 18 months to get you ready for growth. Guess what? You're ready. Whether you want to be or not, you're ready. So ask the Lord what's going on. What is it he wants you to do? He has a mission and a purpose for you. And can all God's people say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I should still have you out of here about 11:45, so don't worry. I'm glad you guys take a joke really well, although some of you kind of go, oh, wow.